Ready for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. There's nothing quite like the Word of God. Hallelujah. I believe this morning the Lord wants to set some people free. God wants to do something radical in your life, way down inside, if you'll let Him. This morning I want to talk about guarding your heart. We'll be talking about your heart. You know, I know a lot of times we pray about outward circumstances in our lives. We all have situations. There's probably nobody here this morning that doesn't have something going on externally in their life that they would like to change. And we should pray about those things. The Word of God tells us to. But one of the things that affects the externals in our life are the internals. What's going on inside of me? And sometimes it's that God wants to change what's going on around you by changing what's inside of you. That's where it needs to start. But oftentimes we resist that. But I would like for you to do something for me this morning. I would like for you to be open, open your heart to letting God do something inside of you today. And letting God do something in your heart, something radical in your heart. I want to read a passage this morning from Proverbs chapter 4. And this passage tells us to guard our hearts. Set a guard around your heart. Guard your heart above all else. You see that? Guard your heart above all else. We take care of a lot of things in life and sometimes don't take care of our heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the courses of your life. You see, guarding your heart changes the course of your life. It changes the externals. It changes what's going on around you and what's outside of you. It often starts right here. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love you so much, and I just ask you to bless us, Lord, with the Word of God today and speak to our hearts. We thank you, God, for your encouragement, your strength. We thank you for your presence. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's Father's Day, and this is not a typical Father's Day message, but I want to speak to the men, but I'm not just speaking to the men. I'm speaking to everybody, but men particularly sometimes can put on this big bravado kind of thing that we're okay, and sometimes we're not okay. Sometimes we're going through things and we hide it and we don't always share it. Well, this morning I'd like us to all be very open to allowing God to do something in our heart. And I'm going to be particularly talking about unforgiveness this morning, because that's one of the things that affects our hearts above everything else. We build walls of unforgiveness around our hearts, and we do it to protect ourselves. Our next scripture this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This is what the Word of God tells us to do. The Word of God tells us to make allowances for everyone else's faults and forgive anybody who offends us. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You see that? Amen. How many of you has the Lord forgiven? Right. Well, he wants us to forgive as well. I'm going to be talking about that. Because he has forgiven us, he wants us to learn to forgive others, to make allowances for other people's faults. Folks, none of us are perfect. People make mistakes. That's what we do. But we've got to learn to forgive and to love and help people move on from their mistakes and do better. But often what we do is because we've been hurt, because we've been wounded, because somebody's let us down or somebody's betrayed us, we do this whole defense mechanism thing with the walls around our hearts, and we build walls around our lives, and we build walls around our minds, and we do it to keep the bad people out. We do it to keep people away from hurting me. You hurt me. You let me down. You betrayed me. And that's not going to happen to me again. And so we build these walls to protect ourselves and to keep those people away. You know, you hurt me and fooled me and betrayed me, but that won't happen again. And we get so protective to keep the bad people away. But you know what walls do? Walls not only keep the bad people out. Walls keep the good people out. Hopefully we'll get that fixed. Walls keep good people out. Right? And not only do walls keep good people out. Worse, they keep God out. There are people in this room right now that God has difficulty working in your life because you've got such big walls around your heart and around your life that you won't let God in. You won't let anybody in, but you won't let God in. You've just kind of cut it off. And I get it. I understand. When I let down the walls, I'm making myself vulnerable. And that's not easy to do. None of us like to do that. Loving and being loved is risky. There's risk involved. You have to let the walls down and open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable in order to love people, in order to be loved. But the thing that defends you is also the thing that prevents you from being healed. I'm going to say that again. The thing that defends you also prevents you from being healed. You have established in your life a defense system to protect yourself, but it's, I know you think it's helping you, but it's hurting you. And God wants to get through that because He wants to bless your life. Another thing a defense mechanism will not do, a defense mechanism will not trust. A defense mechanism will not trust. It won't. But at some point, you have to start trusting. And maybe you can't trust me. Maybe you can't trust your husband. Maybe you can't trust your wife. Maybe you can't trust a friend, a relationship, or family. But you got to start trusting somewhere. And might I suggest you start with trusting God. Amen? Because you can trust God. Now, you may think you can't, but you can. He's there for you. You have to learn that trust. And that's where it starts, with trusting God. And recognizing the problem. Recognizing the problem. Let me show you what the problem is. The problem is fear and forgiveness. That's the problem. Fear, it's two of the, I am trying to go as deep into your life as I can. I'm trying to go as deep into your heart as I can. The two biggies in our lives are fear and forgiveness. Fear says, I'm afraid to forgive. I've been hurt. I don't want to hurt again. And I'm afraid of being hurt again. And I have that fear. Unforgiveness says, I will not forget. Now, how many of you ever heard this expression, and maybe you've said it yourselves, I might forgive them, but I'm not forgetting. I will not forget. Well, let me tell you something. You're not forgiving. When people say, I'll forgive them, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to forget it. You're telling me you're not forgiving. That's what you're telling me. Well, you're going to say, well, Glenn, I can't forget. I'm going to help you with that in a minute, and I'm going to show you you can. I'm going to show you something cool. So I don't buy that line anymore. I won't forgive. And hear what they're saying. I'll forgive you, but I won't. They're not saying I cannot forget. They say I won't forget it. You know what that means? That means I'm holding on to it. Why? Because I want to punish you. You hurt me. You let me down. Somebody did. Daddy did. Mama did. Somebody did. And I want to get you back. And if I forgive you, I'm letting you off the hook. And I don't want that to happen. So what do? We hold on to it. Y'all have heard me talk about the sack of rocks. Because there's a ton of people that are carrying a sack of rocks in their life. I was called to the deathbed of a lady who was in her 80s many, many, many years ago. And I'm kneeling beside this bed with this woman, praying with her. She's dying. Her son called me, and she just starts crying, and she's, and I don't know this lady. I knew her son, but I didn't know her. And she just starts crying, And she tells me a story. She said, I was in love with a young man when I was 19 years old. We were madly in love with each other. And we were going to be married and build a life together. But my parents opposed the marriage. My parents opposed the relationship. And they kept us separated and they forbid us to be together. And I never married the man who was the love of my life. Oh, I ended up getting married and I married a man I never loved. We never loved each other. We had a couple of kids, you know, went through life together. He passed away. And here I am dying. And I never knew. And I'm so angry at what my parents did. I thought, my Lord, this lady's 80-something years old and she's been carrying this for 60-something years. She's been carrying that sack of rocks around, the pain, the hurt. I mean, my heart just went out to her. That's why at some point in our life, we have to learn to let go. That's what forgiveness is. Say letting go. Letting go. Forgiveness is letting go. It's releasing. And here's why it's important. Fear and forgiveness have children. Fear and forgiveness, if they stay in your life, they will produce something. Fear and forgiveness will produce, let me tell you what their names are. Their names are anger. Their names are hate. Their names are bitterness. Their names are worry. Their names are fear. Their names are anxiety. Their names are depression. And I could go on and on. These are the kids you're going to have if you keep fear and unforgiveness in your life. You're going to produce a root of bitterness. Let's look at our next verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. First of all, I want you to see that. Did you see where he said we're supposed to look out after each other? Somebody say amen. This is exactly what church is about. Church is really twofold. The Bible says we are to teach and train and equip the saints of God for the work of the ministry. We're here to teach and train and equip and build up and encourage, exhort, and help one another. The other is that we are to preach the gospel of Christ. We are to proclaim the good news of Jesus. That is our primary purpose, to help each other and to proclaim the love of Jesus to a lost world. Amen? Amen. That's good, isn't it? That's what church is supposed to do. That's why you need to be in church. Because in church, we help each other. We help each other. We reach out to one another. We strengthen one another. We encourage one another. He says, so look out for one another so that they don't fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. The root of bitterness that grows up in my life because I don't take care of that problem is going to affect a lot of people. Bitterness is contagious, and bitterness spreads. And it affects, if you get bitter, it affects everybody in your family. Your whole family's wounded. Your whole family is hurt because of the wounds and hurts that you carry. So that's why we're to release these things and to get rid of them because of the pain that they cause and the pain that they cause others. Let me tell you a neat story. It's about a man named Joseph. Y'all know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. Everybody knows that story, right? Joseph was kind of his dad's favorite. His dad doted on him. Jacob. Joseph just was the apple of his eye. He loved all his kids, but there was just something about Joseph. And he got Joseph a special coat. It was very colorful. And Joseph went around in it. Joseph didn't handle it exactly real good either. You know, he kind of bragged about it. He kind of flaunted it around. He told his brothers that he had dreams and they would all bow down to him and he would be a king one day. And God had showed him that he would be exalted. And he was kind of like, I'm somebody. I'm Joseph. And his brothers got tired of it. They got jealous and they got tired of it. So they decided they would get rid of Joseph and they just fell on him one day, grabbed a hold of him, and threw him in a pit. And some slave traders came by on their way to Egypt, and they stopped him and they said, "Hey, we got somebody we'd like to sell you." Their own brother. And they sold their brother into slavery, and they watched as their brother was chained and tied up and drug off and was taken away. And they took the coat of many colors and put blood all over it and went to their father and said, "We found this out in the field. Looks like a wild animal, a lion or a bear or something, fell on our brother and killed him." And Jacob wept much because his beloved son was gone. Now, how would you feel if you were Joseph? Think you'd be hurt? Think you'd feel betrayed? It gets worse. Joseph goes to Egypt and is equipped of raping the woman he's working for in the house of Potiphar. When she tried to seduce him and he rejected her advances, and then the wife tells her husband because she's been rejected, so she's angry. So when the husband gets home, he says, he tried to rape me today, your house servant. So Joseph is now in prison. How do you feel? You think there's room for a root of bitterness here? You think there's room for this man to be bitter at everybody? James 5:16, look at this next verse, says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Do you want to be healed? The way to get healed, the Bible says, is to confess it, get it out, let go of it, release it. Cleaning yourself out. Forgiving and forgetting. Well, there you go, Glenn. I'm telling you, I can't forget it. I'm not going to forget it. I'm hanging on to it. Let me show you another verse. Let's finish our story about Joseph. Look at Genesis chapter 41, verse 51. I want to show you something really neat. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family." Whew. Let me tell you. Later, there was a famine in the land, and Jacob and all his sons, they all had to come to Egypt to try to survive because everybody was starving. By the time they came to Egypt, Joseph was the second ruler in the whole empire. He was a powerful man. In fact, the only man in the world more powerful than Joseph was the Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh had control over all the affairs and administration of Egypt. And Joseph saw his brothers. And if you read the account, he overheard them saying how hurt they were for 20-something years, how wrong they had done their brother. But they didn't know. They didn't recognize. They didn't know Joseph was their long-lost brother. But when Joseph made this statement in Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, this was right after he became the ruler of Egypt. He didn't know anything about... This was before his family came to Egypt. This was before he ever saw him again. This is before any of that. Joseph made a conscious decision. I want you to see this. Joseph made a conscious decision. God has made me, helped me, strengthened me to forget all my troubles. And even everyone in my father's family. That word "forget" there means to let go, forgive, release. Joseph is saying, "I decided with the help of the Lord to let this go." Amen? You need to see that. That's important. I decided to let it go. But Glenn, and I'm almost done this morning, I can't forget it. I just can't. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Our next verse this morning says, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. Let me show you what God does. Do you know Romans says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? You know why that verse says that? Because God knows you sinned. God is omnipotent. He knows everything. He knows that all the world has sinned. However, I just read you a verse where he says, but I will not remember their sins. What does God do? I'll show you what God does. God forgives our sins, but he chooses to forget them. It's not that he doesn't have the knowledge of sin. It's not that he doesn't know, but he chooses to forget. That's what he said. He chooses to let it go. You see what God is doing? He chooses to let it go. He chooses to forget. Here's what that means. That means he acts toward you as if it had never happened. He knows it happened. But that means he acts toward you as if it never occurred. Can you act toward people as though it never happened? Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So this is what we're supposed to do. I'm going to wrap this up. We forgive. And even though we remember the sin, we act toward them as if it never happened.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. We forgive them. And in forgiving, though we might still remember, we act toward them as though it never occurred. That means I am letting go. I am releasing it. I am choosing to forget. So let's wrap this up. So what do I do? I'm going to give you four quick things. Number one, be thankful. Somebody say, be thankful. Be thankful. Have a spirit of thanksgiving. You know what that means? Get out of self-pity and self-focus. Get over yourself. Amen? It ain't all about you. Number two, stop blaming others. Get your eye off the problem and get your eye on the solution. Get your eye off the problem and get your eye off the solution. Quit blaming everybody around you for everything that's gone wrong in your life. Number three, cast out fear. The Bible says perfect love cast out fear. Fill your life with the love of God. Focus on the love of God. And the love of God will drive. Fear and love cannot stay in the same place. Fear and love cannot live in the same house. Fear and love cannot stay in the same room. Fill your life with love, with the love of God. And the love of God will drive out that fear. And lastly, let it go. And that's what forgiveness does. It lets go. I will forgive and I will choose to forget. Now, I understand you're not capable. Please understand something. I know you're not capable of deleting things from your memory, right? Okay. In case you're out there wondering, does he not understand that? I understand that. There's not a delete button, right? You can't delete it. It's still there. But I can choose to not act on it. I know it's still there. But I can choose to love you. I know you want justice. And that's the problem. Justice belongs to God. It don't belong to you. So closing. I asked a moment ago how many of you have been forgiven. Raise your hands again. But I'm setting you up here. Everybody, we've all been forgiven. Now, I'll tell you something about that. You didn't earn it, and you didn't deserve it, but you have it. Amen? All of you just told me I've been forgiven. None of you earned it. None of you deserved it, but you have it. Then why do we have trouble forgiving others? I'm forgiven. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. So why are you having trouble forgiving somebody else? They hadn't earned it or deserved it either. The Bible says, comfort one another as I have comforted you. Let me ask you this. Does being forgiven comfort you? Is that comforting? God said, comfort others as I have comforted you. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Love others as I have loved you. Comfort others as I have comforted you. God says, whatever I do to you, do to others. I should have got an amen there. Amen. God said, whatever I do to you, do to others. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our sins as... Amen. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. How many of you want God to treat you the way you treat others? I just read you a verse. He said, forgive me as I forgive. Forgive me the way I forgive. Uh-oh. God, treat me the way I treat others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Mercy and justice. If you ask for mercy, you know what that means? It means you're guilty. I want mercy. Amen. I want mercy. Well, that means you're guilty. If you're innocent, you ask for justice. If you're innocent, you want justice. But none of us are innocent. Not a one of us in this room. Not a one of us. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I don't want justice when it comes to God. If any of you, if I see any of you when we get to heaven, walk up to the judgment seat of Christ and tell God you want justice, I'm going to grab you and pull you aside. And I'm going to tell you, don't you walk up there and tell him you want justice. Amen? And you look at me and say, well, what do I say? You walk up there and tell him you want mercy. Amen? Mercy. So you have received mercy. So why can't you give it? But they're guilty. So are you. Church, we're carrying stuff we need to let go of. And it's one of the reasons we're not being healed. We're toting a sack of rocks and carrying this stuff around. And we carry that pain. And we don't get healed. Our hearts, let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory. There's some of you in this room that I know you've been hurt. I know that. Mother's Day and Father's Day are two very complicated days. Now, I'm going to speak to something right here. I know we put a gloss on it because it's Mother's Day or it's Father's Day, and we try our best to make it good days. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people grew up and didn't have a good mom. And Mother's Days are kind of hard. They grew up with a lot of pain. And there's a lot of deep hurt. I know we go through the motions, but y'all know what I'm saying. Father's Day, same way. There are men in this room that your dads gave you a hard time. Your dad made you angry. You felt like your dad let you down. And there's a lot of hurt. And so that's why Mother's Day and Father's Day are complicated days. They're days filled with mixed emotions. And some of you growing up may have been hurt in ways that I can't even imagine. I've heard some of the stories, and they hurt my heart. But there is a God in heaven who can heal the deepest hurt in your life if you're ready to let go of it.